I just want to give a quick shout out. Our brown bags of hope, this is a gathering time where you could go and just get your brown bag or a few of them. These are non-perishable food items, not the toothbrush, but there's other things in here. I'll take a few and put them right behind my driver's car seat. So when you see the houseless people in our communities or out there by the bus stops and you don't feel comfortable handing them money, no. Just give them a brown bag of hope. There's great products in here and some great little tracts for Jesus as well. So hope that you'll gather them up. I believe we have a few more left over for this service. How fantastic is that? Our Bibles in hand. How many have your Bibles? Let's see a Bible attendance. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Might even want to check if you have your electronic apps. I think we changed the password on that because the neighbors are camping out and using our Wi-Fi. No, I just thought we just... You never know. You just never know. Everybody's looking stylish. Some of you are wearing your glasses. I hope you like my glasses. Little boy, I won't give the name out, but in the community, I said, I like your glasses. Are you thankful you have them? Oh, yes, I'm thankful. Well, why are you thankful? He said, well, the boys don't fight me and the girls don't kiss me. So, well, I want my wife to kiss me. So anyway, how cute is that? Yes. Now, they may not have been able to hear that because their battery ran dead, but we'll make sure. Well, I'll tell you, that's one intro right there. Eyeglasses and batteries. Great. Well, we've been together and enjoying this summer, a sermon series, Learning to Listen. And that is for God's voice and for God's will. And we're beginning now to take a look at God's will. And I want to encourage you now as you look at the back of your bulletin with the hopes that you're ready to write down those things that are impressionable to you. Because we do forget things, but we want to at least exercise our ability to hear. And so today's message, learning to listen for God's will. I'm in Romans chapter 12. So if you'll find Romans, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans 12. When we were together looking at the book of Romans, you know that that theme is all about the righteousness of God, which is a free gift through faith. And that's an important thing. And we were looking at how that chapters 1 through chapter 8, profound doctrine teaching, chapter 9 through chapter 11, the nation of Israel and the place of history, chapter 12 through 16, the practical aspect. And we're beginning now right there in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going. So with this, the will of God. And there can be, if you have ever found that condition in your life where you find that you are just getting up in the morning, getting ready for work or school, work hard, come back, watch TV, go to bed, only to do the same thing again. Get up, get yourself ready, go off to work, come home, maybe just watch TV, go back to bed, wake up, and that becomes a dissatisfaction. I want you to know, I'm going to believe that that is a God-ordained holy dissatisfaction. In other words, there must be something more for me to do and to experience. And if you're feeling anxiety about your future, and that also does happen to people, it's a persistence, a nagging persistence of fear, what does my future hold? If that's the case, that could also be something I want to just say, let God use that to bring you to Him, to seek out the will for your future. Oftentimes, what we'll hear just young, developing Christians, they'll usually say, okay, we're going to do this, God be with us. Well, hey, friends, you already know God has promised He's with you. Hebrews 13:5, I am with you always. So if you or I feel He's not with us, it could be something where we're moving maybe a little bit prematurely, but He's always with you. But use that to bring yourself in line with God. God's with you. Maybe we just decided to not go with him on a particular pattern. So learning to listen for God's will. Now, in high school, I was a standard kind of student, and I do remember at age 13 going into high school, God used my older brother, 16 years of age, to not only introduce me to Jesus, but to get me filled with the Holy Spirit. I did not know what was going on, but I do remember something did happen to me, and I recognize all my wonderful upbringing in church, it finally started making sense. When a person has a transformed heart, when they invite Christ in, all of a sudden your spirit connects with God's spirit. And that's what we've been seeing. We can hear God through our spirit. God is a spirit, John 4:24, and he speaks to our spirit. So impressions or thoughts can actually be the Lord trying to communicate his direction for you. But I remember in high school, because I started getting a little anxious and God was bringing people into my life. Fellowship of Christian Athletes, guy named Ray Schutte, went after our little group of guys that were the jocks. And as any good youth leader would, you go for the influential students. Hopefully they'll bring the rest of the college or high school campus, I should say, in there. And I'm grateful for him. But when the time came to finish high school, I did not know what I was going to do with my life. And I actually started to move into this little four-square church called Azusa Foursquare. And I was asking people, how do I find the will of God? Now, for whatever the reason, not able to actually understand, because like, Lord, show me, nobody really could tell me how to find the will of God. So I'm wanting to pass on something to you today, and we're going to build on it next week too, about something that I would call a legacy. I like turning people onto what my values as opposed to my valuables. I may not have many valuables. You're welcome to them. How's that? But what I value, I do that for my own children. I'm going to give you my valuables, but I'd rather give you what is valued in my life. And hearing the word of God. Now you could go read a book. Reese Howell, Intercessor, great book. How about, man, Mueller's book on how to just determine the will of God. What a tremendous guy he was. And so when we take a look at things, I'm just wanting to pass it on. And in my pursuit to say, what should I do with my life? Because I'm having people speak to me, and my dad was one of them. Paul, you want to be a millionaire before age 30? That was my goal. I didn't know better. So I was going to take business courses, and he said, why don't you do this? Help me with the business, the family printing business in Pasadena called Quality House. I will turn the business over. You go to night school, Pasadena City College, PIA, Printers Industry Association, learn to estimate, learn to do business. I did all that. Something was missing. And I was feeling like that was not the agenda. I worked that business for 8 years with my father, and then when he passed away, I continued on for another 10 years, total of 10. So in my pursuit to want to hear what direction God would have for me, I said, it's got to be in the Bible. So I read the Bible, 5 chapters bare minimum a night. I'm looking for things. And God's stirring areas in my life. And I came to Romans 12:1-2. Do you have those verses that you just know are the aha moments, the altar place where God's laying something out and you know he's starting to speak? So as we saw, Romans 12-16 are the practical aspects in the book of Romans, profound book. So let's look here, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and here was the catchphrase, and perfect will of God. I was looking for the perfect will of God. Now, I believe God has a perfect will for you. I'm confident of that. But that doesn't mean you're going to land on it. Some people have never been told, well, you just most people will think, well, I'll just live out my life, and I guess that's the will of God. You know, if it's God's will, I'll be healed. If it's God's will, I'll do this. But a lot of people are still wondering, who should I marry? What way should I go? Am I doing the right thing? I believe you can actually hear what God has for you. It's very important. So in that process, it was a wonderful experience. Remember the three voices that I said you have to be careful about. God's voice, which is wonderful, it's what we're wanting. Where God's voice comes along, and his is always redemptive, always reassuring. Sometimes it's so subtle and so nice and cozy, we say, that can't be God. I'm not used to that reaffirming, loving voice. Voice of the adversary, demonic voices, destructive. Woe is you, you're not going to make it. It's all the voices that you've heard as a child growing up. And then the third is human voice. People that may coach you. It'll come across very self-focused, selfishness. You deserve this. Why is it? Come on. Just do what I do. I heard that voice coming out of high school. You can be that millionaire. It'd be all yours. It's like, yes. And then something just didn't seem right. Until all of a sudden, I started to do what we're just going to go through, those same little three steps. They're listed right there on your bulletin, but we'll rehearse them. But these verses changed my life because I wanted the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God, if I will do what you're asking me, will you instruct me? And 4 months later, things started happening, and in July of 1980, God was very direct in just saying, you need to just trust me on this and start going to Bible college. 60 days later, I entered Bible college, and that had tremendous change in my life. I was just going to go to be a better little Sunday school teacher for junior hires. I volunteered everywhere in the church. But within the first week, I met my wife, and I was over girls. You say, well, that sounds funny, but honestly, I was so desperate for the will of God. I remember even while I was going to night school and working full time, I dated this wonderful young lady. She was the valedictorian in our high school. We were out of high school now. I thought, well, she's always been a kind of an all-American girl, pristine. Everybody wants the untouched one, right? And I remember finally telling her, I'm going to be going to Bible college. And it, like, her face just went drooping. She said, Paul, I don't see myself doing anything with that. I'm not going to go do any kind of church thing. And I realized there is a decision to be made. And I remember that night instantly. She says, maybe we shouldn't see each other anymore. Wow. I felt so relieved, but very sad. Have you ever experienced that? It's like, I should be in tears, but something's feeling great. Now, she went off and was a big success, and I'm sure grateful. She is a school superintendent up by San Francisco. Brilliant. But I think I got the better of the catch, don't you? That Ainsley, man, oh man. So she did me a favor. But looking for the perfect will of God. And the thing was that was so amazing, I want you and I have to be responsible to discover God's will. You cannot just say, I'm just going to go through life and expect that's God's will. Let's take a look now. Point number one, prayer. I'm trusting that you have at least attempted the half an hour with God in prayer. The second point was silently listening for his voice. If you have not and said, well, I don't have time or that's not a part of my agenda, then we will just be talking to somebody else near you because you are responsible for discovering God's will. I am so excited because I know he wants to tell you what he has for you.
You just have to spend that time. I tweeted this morning that prayer prepares the way, and that's why we get so exhausted when we don't pray. For when we lose Him who is the way, we lose the way. So you need to spend time with Him. You will not fulfill God's will in your life accidentally. And I don't know if I could live without the will of God. Like, Lord, how is that? Not only what I should do, but how to go about doing this. I feel like Moses in Exodus 33:5, you can write that down. He said to God, God, if you don't go with us, we're not going. Because it's your presence we want. So there's a lot of decisions you and I can make. And I am confident a lot of us may have had a decision. This is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. But we never check in with God how to go about doing that. So it's important. In Ephesians 5:17, great verse. 5:17 of Ephesians, it's a command. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand. It will require you. Now, the good news is, again, the Lord wants you to know His will. It's encouragement in Jeremiah 29:13. We've all heard Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, right? Everybody gets stoked on that, but they never go and pursue. What is that plan? Verse 13, 29:13 of Jeremiah, write it down. It says, and you will seek me and find me. I like that. When you search for me with all your heart. Verse 12 before that, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. My concern with certain Christians that really don't step into discipleship or let somebody kind of coach them on things. Basically, as long as you can live without knowing God's will, some Christians might just go about doing that. I don't know God's will. And we'll just go and live that way. I just know God has something far better. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to just take a look at this. Knowing God's will, starting place, is such a great experience. So some people have a revelation of what the Lord wants, but then they don't really depend upon the Lord. And I like that Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. We've cited that. I'm just using verses we're familiar with and put it in and slotting it into the areas of our life. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. So even though you know what you should be doing, like coming to church, there could be something else He has for you while you're here. Wouldn't that be cool? Like, Lord, I'm here now, and I'm anticipating something wonderful. So the disaster can be, we know what the right thing is that we will step into and do, but we don't do it the way maybe God has. So the starting place can even be encouraging with Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16, because God had a plan for you while you were even conceived and being formed in the womb. Scripture in Psalm 139, 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's the New International Version. It's amazing. I believe that. I believe that you can understand some of those steps that God has for you. God had all your days written out even before you were born. You are not a mistake. You're not just going someplace to see what happens. That's a mistake. I love my life moving in the joy and peace of God. That's how I kind of know realistically that I'm flowing. Just maintain that joy and peace. Doesn't mean I'm without challenges. Those things happen. Life's a rock. Things do discover. But however, you can't just assume that God's will is automatically going to come to pass in your life. God doesn't always just bring things to pass and say, that's your will. Case in point, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering in this, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, does that mean that everybody's going to be saved? He has ordained everybody. His will is nobody perishes. Therefore, not everybody's going to step into that will. God's will is your family, your friends, your work colleagues, your study groups. He wants them all saved. All right, that's his will. But statistics and actuality is they're not going to step into the will of God. That can happen to a Christian as well. Not everyone does what God is wanting them to do. So as we take a look, we pray, Lord, I'm seeking you. It says I can seek you. And part of that is I'm going to have to struggle through that. And that's number two, the word, renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. I know as much as being born again and raised in church, but my mind was not very good. My very polluted, corrupt mind. I remember having terrible imaginations, very gross imaginations, sexual innuendos that were terrible. I remember the Lord was saying very clearly, I want you to take heavy doses of my word. Renewing of your mind. The emphasis, seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the word of God. So I'm praying, pouring over. I have numerous scriptures, like, Lord, sometimes you don't even have to be a student of the word. Just show, listen for a book of the Bible, chapter and verse, and then open it up and see what it says. You'll be amazed. The Spirit of God really knows his word very well. Don't you agree? It's amazing how those rhema words come about. But as you are praying and seeking the word of God, because you want the will of God, be patient. Be patient. That's another thing. People think they have a direction, but they don't know the steps to get there. And impatience, they really become a disaster. I can cite quite a few of them. Breaks my heart when you say, hold on, don't go yet. Something's not quite freeing here. James 1:4, write it down. James 1:4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Three things come if you're patient, that you might be perfect. NIV says mature, not lacking any good thing God wants to give you. I want that. What is the good thing? Let patience have its work. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes maturity. His plans to be accomplished. Because everybody's running a race. Don't worry about that. You want to finish this race in your life. You want to finish this race. Add patience to your faith. The just shall live by faith. Yeah, I've got it. But be patient. See, you can start, and everybody starts that race, but not everybody crosses the line. That's why if somebody over here looks like they're trusting God and it ends in a disaster, does not give me liberty to not believe God's word for healing or abundance or health just because they don't look like they're receiving. Get that will of God. What is it that he has for you? Now, it's interesting, little side note of a story. As a freshman in high school, I wanted to be a three-letter athlete. I brought my letterman's jacket. You know, it's trick-or-treat month, so I thought I would show it off. It's Looks almost new, huh? It's almost embarrassed to bring it out. I don't believe I've ever shared this with anybody, but my children would often wear this for trick-or-treat. How's that? But I played football. I wrestled. Great. We had a winning tradition, wrestling especially. And when I was in league finals, it would carry me over to the third and final season of athletics, and that was baseball. I loved baseball. Go out for one day, and the coach says, "Paul, man, you're so late turning up for baseball. Freshman year, my mind's made up. The team's picked. You can try as much as you want." I'm like, "Are you kidding, coach?" So I'm off the team. I didn't even get a chance to play. So I go out for track. I don't like track. But I want that letter, trying to keep myself busy. So I'm running the 400. Man, I was good. They said, "You're so good, Paul, we're going to put you in the cross country a mile and a half." So we're all lined up, and this is going to be an easy win. Look at these guys. I am in shape. I take off, and they are so behind me. It's just like the tortoise and the hare, isn't it? It's like I'm cruising to an easy win. Until half a mile, I'm done. I am so done. I was sucking oxygen. I come in last. I was glad to cross the line. I said, "This is not for me either." I started the race. I've got this one. But I didn't want to do that again. I went for pole vaulting. And man, the bars are hitting me in the head. I'm coming back to all dinged and wiped out. I quit. I quit after a week and stayed with two letters. But the analogy was not only have some fun with that, but everybody starts the race, but not everybody finishes. And you've got to spend the time to say, "Lord, what are the next steps in my life? The goal is heaven. But there's got to be some things." And though people will say you need to do this and apply that, watch out for the selfish voices. Be careful about that. And finally, we look at number three, reflection. Prove the good and acceptable. Take into account providential circumstances. These things line up. These Christians come into your life. Certain situations happen. It's like, wow, is this God? I would say yes. You spent time saying, "What's going on?" I've been praying, reading the Word of God. Prove what is that good and acceptable. Now, we're going for the perfect will of God. We'll take a look at that next week. But how about just good and acceptable? If you don't even know the difference between good and bad, then the will of God's a pipe dream. If you haven't even settled good versus bad, see, the renewing of the mind. Or what is acceptable? You see, as Christians, all things are acceptable, but not everything benefits. Not everything benefits. You feed yourself with all the social media you want and got into the Word of God, zero. Is that acceptable? Remember, I was talking about legacy, giving my values, not my valuables to you. But so reflection, what has happened? So prayer to God, the study of the Word, reflection, deliberately judging. It sounds like, man, the Lord just working on things. I want to finish my race with joy, Acts 20, verse 24. That's what the Apostle Paul, I dug that. I want to finish my race with joy. And I'm finding that in my life, I'm working less in regards to harder and reaching more people. Our district fall conference yesterday and Friday was wonderful. Just an example of the Word and the will of God. Our district conference was all about getting our churches mobilized to plant churches again. Did not know that. And that there are stages of the life of a church. They decline, they mainline, and then number three, we're everybody's always, let's add more seats and more numbers, but let's never send anybody out. It's all about big churches, write a book. And then stage four, let's launch people and start a new church. Stage five, the apostolic movement, where you're just multiplying like rabbits multiply, not like pandas. You know, they just produce one. But I was feeling so good because we were talking about the pain and anguish of seeing people go away. Speaker talking about looking over the list. I want to see that list. Who's leaving our church? Wait a minute. I married them. Hey, I dedicated. They're going away. Ah, and you feel terrible. Our staff was there, and they were feeling so encouraged by that. And of all the churches, there's less than 5% that did what you and I did last month. Less than 5%. So the percentage of you going to experience what you and I saw last month is almost bare to nothing. So aren't we glad we're in that vortex of what God's moving in our denomination now? And your church and your church council and your pastoral team and you, dear members and guests and visitors, were a part of hearing the voice of God and saying, let's launch another church to reach the city of Westminster. Glory to God. So taking a look at the reflections, and that whole conference was a gift for me. Say, Paul, you did hear right, and the rest are catching up. Glory to God. So with that in mind, I think that's a good place to prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts and believe what the Lord has. Reflection. Not everything that's good may be for you. It's going to probably be good. We'll talk about that. What if God has something better? Something better. Would you be willing to spend that 30 minutes with God in prayer? Say, Lord, I know you've got a will for me. I know you've got the will for me. I get encouragement in this last thing, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, God chose me. His wisdom chose me even before I was born. So I just want to add, some people say because I've got a natural ability, it must be God's will that I do this. That may not be the case. God chose the Apostle Paul before he had all these oozing talents. So please don't just say, because I have this propensity, I like to do. That could be. But let's still pursue and seek the Lord. Hey, how many say amen? Well, let's prepare our hearts for communion. Shall we do that? And I'm going to invite those who are helping us serve communion to come forward. Because that's part of Christianity. The Lord Jesus says, as often as you have this bread, drink this juice, you're showing yourself my death. You're reminding yourself why you're even in this faith family. Keep doing it till I come. If you're visiting with us, please feel encouraged to have communion. If you're watching via live stream, would you take a moment and grab maybe a piece of bread, some form of juice, just where we get a chance now to reflect what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. We entered into this relationship with Almighty God by faith. We're going to now have some natural elements, but it's still exercise in faith. We believe Jesus did come. We believe he did rise. We weren't there, but we believe it. And the evidence is all around us. Transform lives. And even take hold of our healing and our blessing and our prosperity, same way we took hold of our salvation, by faith. Why? Renewing of our mind. The Word of God said so. I believe the Word. I'm not going to go on feelings. Feeling can be a barrier to stepping into solid faith for the promise. Well, we are right now going to enjoy our time together with God. Please wait till we've all been served, and then we'll come back and have communion together. Always wonderful to wait and listen, posture ourselves in a point of respect. We are standing or seated in the midst of the King of Glory. He's in our midst. He can do anything at any time. Beauty is, he always wants to partner with us. Part of that partnership is having communion, communing with God, relationship with God. And the sacrifice of Jesus makes it now possible. As you separate, just put your finger right on the top cup, separating the wafer from the cup. We're going to snap that wafer. Jesus said, "This is now represents my body given for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Have that monumental moment that, God, you did this for me. You actually came, born as a man, lived, suffered, and died for me. Lord, thank you for removing all suffering. As we talked about, one of the things I enjoy is I like to walk my life out with peace and joy. So Lord, just blanket your people with peace and joy, regardless of the situation. We don't need to be anxious. Lord, you were broken so we could be whole, healed. In Jesus' name, let's go ahead and eat now. So we lift our cups. It's the Lord Jesus that said this cup symbolizes the new covenant. It's the blood that I shed. It's as if anybody had a living trust or a will. It doesn't come enacted unless the one who drafts that covenant dies. Jesus says, I died. I'm starting a new covenant. It's called the New Testament. Salvation by faith through Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning or you're watching via live stream, to say, I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven because of his death, burial, and resurrection, I receive him. That is really all it takes. Little children can understand that, enter in. May that be your declaration and our reminder of how we even entered in. So, Lord, we want to thank you for washing us clean, putting our feet back on the right path. And Lord, we want to hear from you. We believe this church, we believe each home represented is in the will of God. So, Lord, there are some specifics we would like to hear from you. And in patience, waiting for you, the joy of learning and growing and maturing, all because of Jesus. Lord, we thank you because of the washing, cleansing of your great sacrifice in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and participate together. While you stand right now, let's go back. We're going to go back into singing that song that Sean's leading us in. If you wouldn't mind passing the cups to the side aisles here. But let's sing this song. I'll be back to close us off in prayer.
Sing like a rushing wind. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe within. And Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul.
Lead us in prayer. Our first step was a living sacrifice.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally.
Lord, have your way. And we'll be excited to hear that. So just in case some of us are just kind of struggling turning more of our life over to you, but that's okay. You're so patient. You're so kind. I like that about you, Almighty God. You're just waiting around for us to turn that corner and say, Lord, it's all yours. Have your way. So, Lord, that's our prayer. As we're in great pursuit of learning to listen for God's will, we're just thankful for the cross today, and we're all heaven bound. But we sure like to not look back and say we have some regrets, not fully convinced we were doing the will of God on this side of our salvation. So, Lord, answer that prayer. Move us to that point. Touch our hearts. Let us be ready to do the Lord's will. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, everybody. Let's go off and have a good day. Good day.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.